Welcome to episode 305 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, February 14th, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler. Zombie Mo Jeff Chandler. Zombie Chandler. I don't know what you want to call me. Sleep Deprived Chandler. Whatever. There's a million different nicknames. And now I feel bad now because John's wife just yelled at me for not starting the show on time. And joining me is my co-host, whose wife yelled at me, is John, J-Trip, John James Jacoby, something.
The reason the show always starts 5 minutes late, your co-host?
Yes. Well, most of the time it's your fault, but this time I just, lack of caring, I don't know. actually, we get on these little pre-show discussions, and next thing you know, the show's late, so... glad you're with us this week. In case you didn't know, I was a little bit sleep deprived last week, but this week it's really starting to mess with my mind. First off, I've had a lack of REM sleep.
All right. Before it gets better. You haven't reached rock bottom yet.
No, you know, this is a puppy. This isn't even a baby human. This is just a puppy, and now I'm really... I don't even know if I want a baby human now, just from having a puppy. I mean,
yeah, that's the struggle. From what I understand, is very. I've tried to. I empathize as deeply as I can with old coworkers who've got newborns, actual human newborns that need more, significant more attention, and than a puppy, but. You know, when you only have puppies, it's your only peek into that world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, like I said, it's my first puppy. But however, I think next week will be better because now we're getting to the point now where I can get over the whining and crying. I lock every door between me. I put him on the other side of the house in case he does that. I just put him in the cage because that way I know he's not going to chew anything up. And he's puppy safe inside the kennel. And that's just it. And then once we let him out, he's excited. It's like his time to be out of jail and everything's cool. So I think next week I'll get back to just being able to put him in the kennel and go to bed.
Puppy, little puppy prison. I had a hard time with when I was, when Paul was a puppy and was trying to,
we put him in a kennel. He literally cries and screams and I can't take it.
Yep. And every piece of advice that you'll find online is leave him alone and don't reward them with anything. But then what do you do when it just goes on forever?
Well, I know what I do. I put him on the opposite side of the house and close every door between me and him and then I turn on my noisemaker to the highest setting and there you go. That's my recipe.
The first apartment that I was in Miami, we could talk about WordCamp Miami a little bit later if you want, but the first
apartment. We're going to talk about anything and everything today.
Our neighbors, they had a little, I think it was a miniature pincher, but it had the extreme separation anxiety where the second the door clicked, the dog would bark nonstop until the owner came home. And it's hard for everyone. It's hard for the dog. It's hard for the owner because she knows this dog does this. It's hard for the neighbors who happen to work from home who can hear the dog barking through the wall. It's hard. It's hard for everybody. I mean, it was certainly hard for the property management group and the police because more than once other people complained. And I don't know what you do exactly about that. So Paul has started barking. Like, it'll get to be sunlight, so it'll be, getting to be 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:35, and Paul, in his crate, will just start barking. He hasn't done that since he was a puppy, and so 8 years later, out comes this old puppy-like behavior that he did, that he hasn't done, that he does now. I don't know, what do you do? You can't take him out of the crate, that's what he wants. You can't leave him in there, because you're not going to get any sleep. That doesn't teach him anything. I'm not huge into taking the swatter. I don't know, man. It's tough. You're just locking him up. That's your plan?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just lock him up. And the past couple of times he's been okay with it. So, cause he knows he comes out eventually and I got to put him in there cause that's the only safe place. Fine. I don't want him chewing up carpet. He's finding things I didn't know existed on the floor. Mm-hmm. He gets into spaces that you're not supposed to be getting into. I don't know how you get into. So, but we're working on it. I think next week will be a better week, and I'll get back on to I'll get track on life, because this past week and a half has been just a whirlwind of.
Maybe take the MacBook off the floor so that, you know, those cables are expensive, Jeff, for people that are listening and can't see.
Oh, I make sure he doesn't show
MacBook just laying on the ground with an $80 charger.
Oof. Well, I mean, I guess there you go, right there in one image. That's my review of Apple products over there. Anyways, anywho, today is Valentine's Day, so I think it's appropriate we say something Valentine's-y. And I present to you this nice poem that Triple J put on Twitter today, and that is, roses are red, WordPress is blue, Gutenberg's coming to a dashboard near you. Oh, yeah. Wow. Great. Wonderful. Great poem.
Thank you
for that. You know, you're on point, as always.
Well, you know, I didn't necessarily say it was the WordPress dashboard, right? This is
any old
dashboard. Right. There's depth and meaning to everything.
I forget. Yeah, everything you say and do, there's an onion attached to it. I mean, it's many layers.
Of which I am allergic to onions. So it's like something else with layers. What else can we find that's not an onion?
You're a tree trunk.
Tree trunk, okay.
Yeah, tree rings. I don't know. You're a tree branch or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's the best Valentine's Day.
I don't want to call you Woody, because that could be interpreted so many different inappropriate ways. That could make you uncomfortable, which really.
I have enough nicknames already. I don't need.
Okay. All right. So today's show, I don't know. We don't have any guests, so we're just going to shoot the breeze and talk about whatever and hope to God you're not bored to death. We'll just talk about whatever comes up. I do have a couple of things to mention, though. Last week, we briefly mentioned that Jetpack 5.8 was released and wanted to dive into that a little bit more this week, because there's a couple of neat things in this release. Mm-hmm. The Elasticsearch beta that they've been testing out is now out of beta. In fact, 5.8 concludes the beta. Now the new search service is available to professional plan customers. So this actually replaces the native search functionality in WordPress, which has been the bane of existence to many users over the past 15 or so years of WordPress. In fact, I remember a day, I don't know if it's still there, but I remember Matt Mulloway's personal site, ma.tt, was using Google search. His search was powered by Google. And it's like, well, I don't know. What is that? Is that an admission that the search functionality in WordPress is no good? But there's been work and suggestions and tickets over the years to try and improvement. But at least what Jetpack is doing is they're working on this Elasticsearch. Now users can use it, and replaces native search, and you can search by or filter results by categories, tags, month, year, post type, or taxonomy. It should benefit sites with a large amount of content, images, or products, because you're offloading all that searching and relevancy and results and filtering to a service. And with the addition of a content delivery network, which Jetpack already has, they've now introduced something called lazy load images. So when activated, Jetpack will display a page's textual content first, and when a user scrolls down the page, Jetpack will request and download the images so they appear when that section of the page comes into view. And again, sites with a large amount of images will benefit most from having this module activated. And there's a whole handful of other features in this release as well, but I've actually turned lazy load images on onto the tab, and I haven't really quite noticed a difference yet, but I imagine it's there somewhere if I did any sort of testing tools. But one of the interesting things about, I'd say interesting comments I received about this is that, let's see, where is the comment? This is read the WP Tavern comment section of the show. let's see, where is it?
So cover your children's ears if you're listening with the family? Is that what you're implying?
Yeah, but... So here's the chemist. I'm not sure how I feel about this. It's generally agreed that WordPress's built-in search is not good. Is Jetpack now the solution for defects in WordPress core? Is anyone now going to address WordPress's search problems, or is that now a fixed problem? And the comment goes on to say, how much do we want install Jetpack to be the solution to parts of WordPress core are bad? With both core and Jetpack having the same ultimate leadership, that just feels very uncomfortable. And to make the concern clearer, we know that plugins are for adding features. There's no problem that Jetpack adds features that core does not have, but more relevant results and speed improvements, those are arguable fixes for core defects, not new features.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in some ways, he makes some credible points there.
I'm happy that Greg replied. Greg Brown, Automatic.
One of the main developers on Jetpack.
And I was gonna add, and I'm happy that Greg kind of introduced himself the way that he did, like pretty fully, is that the search functionality in Jetpack is like it kind of follows my old thoughts about how a lot of race car technology makes its way down to everybody else. This was a VIP only thing for a really long time, and so to have Automatic build this into a value add for sites that want like fast and sophisticated WordPress search, this anybody else can build it. There are a few solutions for this that also do this outside of Jetpack. So to your point, and this is what I love about it, is Jetpack now the solution for defects in WordPress core? I mean, replace Jetpack with like any plugin. And the answer is yes, unfortunately. Like there's a million different plugins that try their best to unplug a piece of WordPress core to bolt their own better version of it in. If it's database queries, database scaling, caching, those are the obvious ones. User profiles. Lots of people have different solutions for lots of different things. I had a Term Meta plugin for a while before Term Meta was in core. There's lots of plugins that try and address all these things. And so, of course, Automatic is a business. Wants Jetpack to be the de facto solution. You've got a huge amount of resources that go towards it. So, whether or not you like it, the answer today is yes.
I like what Greg said. He says that's a reasonable question you're asking, one that he's asked himself, and he says that doing something in Jetpack doesn't prevent it from happening in core, and maybe it helps us learn what core should do. And he goes on to say that the MySQL performance on a lot of hosts out there is so bad that doing a remote request potentially across continents is significantly faster than querying the local database. And then he goes on to talk about the relevance problem and MySQL and the history. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very detailed comment on the tavern. I appreciate Greg stopping by and giving us a little insight into.
It's not just
search WordPress functionality.
It's not just WordPress's shortcomings. It's MySQL shortcomings. Like,
right.
Want to do fast searches on huge swaths of content? You'll always have to offload that to something else. MySQL isn't going to be the best place to do that, especially on, like you mentioned, someone like Matt's blog that has 13, 14, 15 years worth of content on it. And Matt used to do a lot more long form stuff. So there's a lot of content in a lot of places. So there are alternatives. 10Up has one. I know Facet WP has some stuff that they were working on and doing. There's a few.
There's a plugin called Relevancy.
Yeah.
Relevancy, SSI.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
What do you think of this suggestion by Greg? He says, I think we need to be thinking about democratization of algorithms. Now, reverse chronological is obviously kind of limiting for engaging an audience. Why are Facebook, Twitter, Google, et cetera, the only websites that can easily deploy an algorithmically organized newsfeed as their front page? That's an idea.
So I'm happy that Greg, because Greg is super smart and good at what he does, but I hate the algorithmically organized newsfeed. It's really not good. Like, at least for my own personal use in the way that I have a tendency to use Instagram or Twitter or anything else. It's come up a couple of times where it's like, oh, I would have never seen that tweet without Twitter doing some magic and going, here, you should see this thing.
Things you've missed.
But I had a conversation, with Brian from WP Sessions and somebody else at WordCamp US, where I think I cracked the reason why algorithms, I think I cracked that nut, why everyone is switching to algorithmic organization instead of chronological. And my theory is that it's only because keeping hugely complex social graphs of content organized chronologically is really processor intensive. And it is just easier to not have to recalculate a feed when someone deletes a tweet or when someone deletes a reply to a bunch of tweets. Or we've done this with BuddyPress and BBPress with hierarchical comments and activity streams. WordPress takes like the weirdest, easiest approach when you delete something that's hierarchically in a tree. But it's just easier to go, okay, we can no longer scale tweets by date because we're dealing with trillions of records, and sorting that chronologically accurately is just not possible anymore. And it is easier to decide somewhat randomly, but with intent, how to prioritize the content that gets shown to people. But it's been proven time and time again, particularly with recent election type things, that prioritization is easily used against users. So I don't think that anything will ever beat sorting chronologically. Like, that is the way we expect to view and see things. The only thing is email sorts it chronologically by like the most recent reply, which is the thing that forums do, which is the thing that social networks don't, is sort them chronologically by the most recently.
Well, it's something they did and then switched over to this reverse chronological stuff.
Yeah. So I think the only reason that we would switch to something that's algorithmically organized is because we just can't do it chronologically anymore. Of course, we should keep it chronological until we just can no longer scale it that way. Because I don't think that most people's blogs need the hugely sophisticated algorithm of a relevancy, fuzzy matched Google on their individual blogs. You can usually get by just stabbing and being totally okay. I don't know, searching on everybody's blog seems not all that bad, but I get why bigger VIP type clients would for sure want something like that.
Well, professional plan customers, I noted. So it's not just VIP anymore. It's trickled down. Like you said, enterprise now trickles down to your average, business, pro website. It's kind of like the military. Military stuff comes down to consumer grade.
That's exactly right. It's very natural for those things to happen. But Greg's comment, and this again is to his credit, but if I go to a site 6 times a day, why would it always show me the same content? If a site wants to, why shouldn't it try to engage me better than reverse chronological sorting is capable of? And that, I'm happy that he qualifies it with like, if the site wants to. Because there, I can imagine why a site may want to tumble its content and go, here, we've decided today to highlight this, that, and the other thing. But I use that. I think it's probably pretty natural, although it's just we're trained to use the web that way. You go to a site, you see it's the same old post, and you don't go back to it. You go back to it 6 hours later, it's the same old post. Easy, because it's at the top. If these things are all out of order and all out of whack, then I start going, well, I need a different way to see that there's something new. I wish I had a reader again. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Everyone uses it differently. and everyone has different needs. So if Jetpack starts offering that, which seems like he's kind of alluding to that, I can see why people would play with that and enjoy it. But I'm definitely not the audience for that. Mm-hmm.
So whenever you have an experience, a problem at home or in your life, you're just going to, you know, the first thing you'll think of is, well, I'll just jetpack this. Is that how you're going to solve all your problems in life?
How can Jetpack help your puppy?
By giving me a sleep module or something. I don't know. Maybe temporarily go deaf. Who knows? For anyone out there who's looking for another free resource to learn or get into JavaScript for WordPress, there's going to be a JavaScript conference on June 29th. It's going to be virtual, so you'll be able to watch it online for free. It's going to be it's organized by Zach Gordon, who launched his Gutenberg development course earlier this year. And he's so far, there's 15 speakers that have been confirmed. The speakers include WordPress core developers, theme and plugin developers, agency owners, and educators. As the date gets closer, he's going to confirm a couple of other speakers as well. He hopes to put together two tracks. And he says that, you know, he's been wanting to do some in-person workshops for a while, but they're very difficult to pull off. And he says that the online format seems like the best option to go with. And he received some advice from HumanMade and WP Campus, who have both have experience of doing online events. So he says hopefully everything will go smooth. So if you visit the JavaScript for WordPress conference website, there's a little email form you can put in there. You can reserve your seat. That's how you can receive information about what's going on with the conference. And there you go, a free virtual WordPress conference for JavaScript. You can learn how JavaScript is in WordPress June 29th. So that's something I could watch from my patio in the summertime.
I really like the website. Like, it's very simple and obvious and clean, and you see the speakers. The
conference website?
Yeah, yeah. JavaScriptforWP.com. Mm-hmm. Slash conference. You don't see a lot of sites or conference sites that are like this obvious and easy. I don't know. I like it. I haven't looked at it at all until just now, so that's like my initial.
So the conference site. So there you go, Zach. You have John's CEO of the
design of your conference. For what little that's worth, one person.
A guy named with three J's just gave you a CEO of approval. It's pretty valuable in my book.
Good speakers, too. Look at this lineup.
Impressive. All right. I mean, that's only the first 15 speakers, too. So a huge congratulations and shout out to 10Up. It's 10Up is a web development agency that was founded by Jake Goldman back in 2011.
Hi, Jake.
you have a little bit of experience with 10Up.
9 months worth of experience.
But 10Up has turned 7 years old, and in a blog post celebrating the occasion, Goldman reviewed the previous year and the highlighted some notable events. There is the acquisition of Lyft UX, Chris Wallace and his team. They are now been embedded into the company. Jake says they welcomed 30 new clients to their portfolio, which was another record sales year. He also highlighted the company's commitment to open source and giving back to WordPress. So just a few of the things they released this year was a distributor plugin, WP Snapshots. There's WP Local Docker, ASIC Transients. So a combination of WordPress plugins and actual development tools. By the way, if you haven't seen WP Snapshots, definitely check it out. A lot of developers were chiming over there on Twitter. And I had a chance to ask Goldman, you know, what are some of the trends you notice over the past couple of years in this agency business you're in? And he says that integrations with innovation are happening in other projects and platforms have become increasingly important as the web matures. He says, you see it now in React and Vue.js emerging as popular front-end standards and the rise of Elasticsearch and the NoSQL platforms with two-factor authentication and Google single sign-on with the rise of modern asset management systems. And he says the second trend is for publishers. It's increasingly becoming about distribution to multiple platforms. And then his third trend is that he says, if you need any more evidence of WordPress dominance, look no further than how highly in demand top-tier engineering talent is. He says it's literally around a factor of 1.5 to 2 times what great engineers were earning 3 to 4 years ago. And he offered a bit of advice for those who maybe are in their first or second year of running an agency or who are in a leadership position. He says, don't be quite so hard on yourself when you run a business or when you're on a lease. There will always be highs and lows. Don't dwell on the lows. And put more emphasis on building systems, routines, and check-ins that offer a better pulse on the collective and individual fulfillment, engagement, and health of the team rather than relying on transparent upwards communication. So little words of advice from Jake Goldman, who's now been at this for 7 years. And there you have it. So you were there for 9 months. So 9 months, yeah. You got a little piece of the pie there, but,
Yeah, I was basically an imposter for 9 months. Like it's agency life is not what where I thrive. I consider Jake a good friend. We haven't talked in a while, but, he needed somebody and I was looking to make a move at that point. So we gave it a shot. But, what I learned and what I think everyone else learned was that, agency workload, workflow, schedule at the time was a smaller, scrappier, faster moving company. I think it's easier to say to put more emphasis on building systems and routines and check-ins and stuff now that the company is a little bit more stable. But Jake's has before 10 Up has even more years working at other ad and marketing agencies. That is he lives and breathes it, and he has hired an executive team that lives and breathes it as much or more than he does. And so I was the misfit in that team, so it was pretty obvious that I wasn't there to hang with them for that.
By the way, so you guys haven't talked much. You know what we should do? We should get Jake on the show, and that way we could spend an entire hour of you just catching up with Jake.
We should get Jake on the show. I'm happy to talk to Jake anytime. We've spent lots and lots of hours on the phone and talking about lots of different things. So that would be fun. We should do that. I think it's not surprising, but is super incredible to see what Jake's vision for 10UP was and has become. Because there are very few web development agencies that can do what 10UP does. And the ones that are out there are the ones that people in the WordPress space know. But then there's a million other ones that you never hear of because they are not like WordPress centric or WordPress focused. They work on, they focus on areas of the world and not necessarily areas of software expertise. And so you look at the summary of 7 years worth of time and the contributions that they're able to make. I mean, Helen was contributing to Core 5 years ago, almost. 2 years into a company, and Jake is willing and able to volunteer and donate a full-time salary to work mostly primarily on WordPress Core. It's incredible. And so I wish Jake and everyone at 10UP, old friends and new ones that are new 10UP employees, the best. And to another 7 years, right?
On to the eighth year, yes, another 7 years. So a big update, heads up, if you're a plugin author or developer, there's been a change in the WordPress plugin directory. That is that the old warning that a plugin has not been updated in 2+ years has been changed to an indication of what version of WordPress a plugin has been tested up to. If that version is more than 3 major releases old, a plugin will be flagged as being maybe out of date. And Mika Epstein on the Make WordPress Plugins page says that the change was that 2 years was rather arbitrary, but also wasn't helpful to many people. 2 years had little meaning, and since there were many plugins that didn't need updates, and in addition, developers failed to understand what they meant by multiple emails asking them to bump the tested up to value without releasing new code. And by doing that, the 2-year warning would go away. With this change, developers have a clear 1-to-1 understanding of whether plugin is showing up as old, and users can see that a plugin has or has not been tested with the version of WordPress they're using. So if you're a plugin developer, what you should be doing now is they recommend that you put the tested up to version as the major release. So for example, WordPress is currently at 4.9.4. If you put in 4.9, then it will show as compatible. If you try and put in 5.0, it will show as not compatible with 4.9. So Mika's like, don't try and be clever with saying you're, you know, go with the current major version. And also this makes sense because now that the WordPress, the new release cycle, we're not talking about a major version every 3 months like it used to be, or every 4 months. Now it's, we're going with these, you know, point releases over a longer period of time. So it keeps the tested up to version is able to stay up to date for a longer period of time. And now this isn't a guideline change.
When I read that paragraph from I can't put, can I put 5.0 as a version? And she's like, yes, but it won't do what you think it does. I felt like she was directing that at me because I have too many little plugins. And so going through and bumping them every version is like, I want a button like on the plugin, like in the admin to go, this is fine. Like I just, it's tested. It's good. It's going to be fine. And I know people would abuse it and people would just click it without actually testing. So I know that's not what's going to happen, but gosh, I have so many, and it, like lots of people have little plugins and the having to go in and pull it and bump that version number and push. I mean, it's not a lot of work, but it does get to be a lot of work when you've got 40 plugins or something. Like I get that there are outliers here, but this is a step in the right direction.
Well, Mika responded to a comment, and she says that a way to bump version compatibility and other plugin header items was on the original interface for the plugin directory revamped, but it was shelved along with the whole WP admin access backend. However, those features were not forgotten, and maybe at some point those will be put into the new interface. But it sounds like they had buttons there for you to do. They just click a button and boom, it works for you, and you could update other plugin header items that way. But not now. Maybe soon, but not now.
Mm-hmm. Someday.
So someday.
It's a good change, though. The 2 years was totally arbitrary. It was. I remember the whole discussion going down was just, well, we'll try 2 years. It might go to three. It might change, but something's better than nothing, and we'll revisit it later. And so here we are. It's later, and this is better.
So that's kind of the only stories I really had to mention. You know, I saw something the other day. I just there's some new stories and some other stuff. But so Salon.com, I saw this on Twitter the other day. They're doing this thing where I wanted to get your take on this, where, you know, these websites now like Forbes.com, if you go there and they detect that you have an ad blocker installed, they'll say, hey, you've got an ad blocker installed.
Yeah.
If you want to see our content, consider turning it off or whatever. So Salon.com is doing this thing where, yeah, so Salon.com has this new pop-up that says, well, you can disable your ad blocker, or you can allow us to use your unused processing power and I guess to mine cryptocurrency for them as a way of, I guess, as a way of paying for access or to be able to access to view content on their website. And I thought, and then I read some comments on this where, oh my God, this is absolutely terrible. But then some other comments were, no, maybe if somehow you could build trust or do this in the right way, maybe be upfront about it, maybe this is the way that could disrupt the terrible way of the ad industry, the terrible way of how things are for content providers and how they're making money and their memberships and things of that nature. So I saw both sides of the equation there, but I thought that was interesting.
Are you going to start mining Bitcoin on WP Tavern?
Oh, it's already happening. I just wait until GDPR goes into effect. I'm going to get fined millions.
Oh, there goes all your Bitcoin.
Yeah, there goes all my imagine. There goes all, and you know, the thing about Bitcoin, you know what drives me mad is you see all these articles and they use featured images when they talk about cryptocurrency and they make Bitcoin look like it's an actual currency. There's actual coins with the Bitcoin logo on it and you're like, it must be a real deal. But it's, those coins don't exist. You can't go into a grocery store and pay for a candy bar with coins with the Bitcoin logo on it. That's not how it works.
I'm surprised that that has to exist in the world where someone like printed, 3D printed or made like a high quality like coin with a QR code.
You think somebody out there is actually NFC buying stuff physically with physical Bitcoin?
Well,
I wonder if any retailers are falling for that.
People did. I've read stuff where people like felt. I mean, people get scammed all the time. It's specifically with the BTCs, but there were ATMs, right, where you could deposit money or you could buy Bitcoin like just from an ATM. There were a few in Canada for sure. I don't know whatever happened to them. And then you know, people that don't know any better trust the people that pretend like they do know better. And so I've read stuff all over the web where someone thinks they're buying Bitcoin just like they think they're buying drugs, but it's not drugs. They think they're buying Bitcoin and it's not Bitcoin because they just don't know. So it happens, I think, probably more often than we want to. People will admit because they don't want to admit they just dropped $1,000 on a piece of paper that's got gibberish on it, and that's their Bitcoin address that doesn't actually exist, and now they also just don't have $1,000 anymore.
But sort of going back to the content and things you're able to do if you want to see this content. Look, if I go to Forbes.com and I know it's going to block me from my ad blocker, I say to hell with you. I'm not turning this off. I'm blocking everything you got going on because now they're starting to find these crypto mining scripts and all these advertising platforms and mm-hmm. and all these different websites are using these crypto mining scripts or they're hijacked or whatever. I'll just find the article somewhere else because God knows there's a million splogs out there just reposting content from major sites, or maybe it's something that's been written about on another publication. I'm not going to turn off my ad blocker. No way.
I, at the risk of like oversimplifying this problem, if Forbes always wrote really great content, they wouldn't have any problem selling ads that made up for the ever increasing costs of running Forbes. It oversimplifies the problem clearly, because quality writing, editing, and people work, all of the things are hard. It's a complex problem, but this is the same problem we went through with radio. It's the same thing we did to TV. Having more is globally better, but it always, you have quality is reduced or harder to find or spread farther across. And so you'll have the occasional good post that gets everyone excited that makes its way around the web in a day and then stays alive for a little bit longer. But every day there's got to be a million people hit publish every day. And of that million, one or two or 10 are really worth reading. I mean, advertising has always been the solution. And I think it is honestly the only solution that works. I don't care if it's advertising on the side of your race car or advertising.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because I was getting ready to ask you. I said, you know, the internet, by and large, all these years, there's so much of the web, so many companies. Mm-hmm. It all comes back to advertising. Everything's built around advertising. That's the primary income generator for so many different sites, so many different mm-hmm. services. And there have been people who have tried. There have been other methods. There have been other techniques on trying to not make it the primary method on how you generate income, but is advertising, I mean, is there anything out there? Is there any other way or any other method besides advertising that will come up in the future? Is this just the way it's going to be forever? More advertising, actually.
This is probably how it's going to be for most of our lives, I think. I don't think it's going to get like a higher
Minority Report augmented reality advertising. That's where we're going. It's not already here.
But the best advertising that actually works on me is like podcasts where they're actually endorsed because they support the thing that I support. Or Amazon does a pretty good job of like keeping me browsing for things that are related to the thing I thought I wanted. And so that works. Not even when it's blatantly advertised in my face, but just organically when I discover the thing that I think is going to solve my problem. Like, I haven't had, and I will, again, the only weird person in the world who's going to say this, but like, I haven't had a lot of success with like a lot of other places that other people think are useful, or like the Wirecutter, for example. Like, they say, here's the best TV. I don't like it. Here's the best shaver. Doesn't work for me. Here's the most comfortable headphones. These are terrible. Like, I've tried and I go, I've tried and everyone says you're the source, but I tried and didn't get a good result. And so I'm not saying it's them. I'm saying it's me. But when a podcast that I listen to endorses a thing and they think it's neat, or they sponsored the show. That's how I ended up buying Eros, is because they sponsor some podcasts that I like. I was sick of my Apple AirPods not really working very well, and me spending a lot of time maintaining them for like not a lot of joy. And so here, Eero, go. And I've enjoyed my Eero experience because I largely don't mess with it ever at all anymore. And I don't think I would have bought them if they hadn't specifically been in a podcast where a person like you or me would say, this person sponsors a show. I have it in my house. I really like it. Here's what I like and here's what I don't. Or here's whatever. Like, here's a realistic review of a thing. Works for me. And that is the part of advertising that I don't think that anybody really gets. We got that on the radio when everything was brought to you by Ovaltine and Band-Aids or Jell-O or whatever it was always about. And I guess I missed that part of early television days. I don't really remember TV spots having like live TV and commercials. But I do remember watching TV and being a kid and thinking like, oh, this commercial is only on at night on this show. This commercial doesn't show up during the cartoons that I watch after school. And so there's a different audience there. There's a different attraction.
Yeah, like all the I'm falling, I can't get up commercials during The Price is Right.
Yes. But look at how much that worked. Look at how much the jingles work for every commercial that you've heard where you can hear the song playing in your head forever. That's advertising that works. It's sticky. And it sticks with you, and good advertising works that way. But instead, there's
good advertising the web
in ads. We blanket it in sidebar ads, footer ads, pop-up ads,
blanket the web and advertising that doesn't work.
Yeah, we spam ourselves. We are spamming ourselves with ads.
Yeah, you know what? You should be an advertiser for Beam Authentic because it works. You work because of you. Beam Authentic actually.
Did you buy a Beam? And I saw Chris Lemma bought a Beam. I saw a couple other people did. Did
Chris
you buy
one? Bought one? David bought some. I may have bought one.
They're cool, aren't they? Cool. I meant to wear it now, but I rushed here because I had a call just before this.
There you go. But I just thought I brought that up because I thought it was interesting that hey, instead of turning off your ad blocker, you can mine some cryptocurrency for us. I don't think so.
That's a scary notion that. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, somebody's going to try it. So, you know, it's a thing.
I don't prefer that.
Other than that, have you watched any of the Olympics? I saw Chloe Kim. She did that massive run. She won the gold. That was pretty cool. Did not get to see Shaun White do his win the gold in person. I've been wanting to watch curling, but you know, when I go to the curling. NBC website and look up the Olympic schedule, it gives you the time of the event, and it says Korea time. But I have no freaking idea when something is on an Eastern time on my local channel because they got 50 different NBC channels that they list. Mm-hmm. And it's a pain in the ass, and I haven't been able to watch one curling event.
We watched curling at a tap room close to us.
Do you think curling is the most non-lethal Winter Olympic sport?
I mean, until something goes wrong, and then you've got like the heaviest thing that you could hurt someone with.
Coming towards your head.
And like a 4 foot long stick with which to like club someone. I mean, I would still find a way to hurt myself if maybe that's what you're implying.
I would slip on the ice. That's how I'd get hurt.
I would definitely hurt myself doing that too. The Shaun White, I may be in the audience of people that are kind of turned off by all the other non-Olympic things going on about Shaun White, where I'm like, okay. And so
he took so much flack for. I mean, he's had an amazing comeback with the injury to work his way back. He's back on top. He's the king of the snowboarding world, and he's taken so much flack from people about the United States flag was touching the ground or he wasn't holding
that's
it.
Dumb. Yeah,
it's like give me a flipping break, man.
Yeah, I everyone's got a thing that they care about, and that's for some people.
Wow.
The flag is the thing that they care about, and they're the flag police. So that's what they're going to care about. For some people, it's tabs versus spaces. For some people, it's a trailing comma at the end of an array. It's different for everybody. But Dave Chappelle said something when he started doing stand up about how. People called him a lot of things, but when people started calling him crazy was when it was really damaging. And it was time for him to step away and do some, you know, introspection and reflecting. And that causing is dismissive to people when you call someone crazy. And so I think that, like, sexual allegations are like the new version of that, that when someone has something to say about someone else in their personal life and they feel strongly enough about it to come forward and to make that public is just sticky, complicated, and hard to work through or like work around. And so, I'm not sure how I feel about any of it. And
Do you
want to give someone a second chance? Of course. I think everyone deserves a second chance. Is it true or not true? I think you have to believe someone when they come forward with something. Like, your default should be compassion and empathy. Like, believe that someone's allegation is true. I'm sure there are two sides to every story. Some person's narrative is different than the other person. Does it matter? I mean, these things happen privately in confidence. And so, as much as I'm a relatively transparent person in life, and I probably share more than I should, the things that I think are sacred or private or funny with a small group of people or what happens over beers or whatever, like if that stuff comes back to ruin your career 20 or 30 or 5 years later, I mean, it just seems a little weird, super, I don't know, complicated, and everyone, it's kind of a witch hunt, but kind of on all angles.
God, John, here's a simple solution. Be perfect.
I try, and it just doesn't work, because...
Why can't you be a perfect human being?
I'm stuck in this soft, terrible body. I don't have a choice. Oh, imperfect from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean,
man. We watched curling, the snowboarding stuff I can't do and was never good at, so I never really got into it. But I can appreciate how hardcore everyone else is into it. We have a ski hill where I live that is people train at, Olympic type folk train at, because they've got a cool hill and good fake snow, and it's awesome to see, but I kind of totally skipped it this year.
Yeah, I haven't really watched that much either, except for when I've had a chance where it comes on. So I like some of the names of the moves. Like there's a 1260 McTwist, or you know, like that when you do the snowboarding moves. They got their own lingo. I thought that was pretty cool. Front side, back side, all this other, you know, 1080, 1260, whatever.
When I used to BMX, that was like the heyday of naming tricks.
I could picture you on a BMX bike going up, flipping your gyro handlebars around or whatever.
I am not leaving the ground. I think people that do dirt and vert are a completely different type of BMX person. I would street or flat, and now I'm too out of practice to even bother trying.
Yeah, I would not recommend it. No, unless you have awesome health insurance.
And maybe not. Don't be an old adult man who was going to look weird on a tiny BMX bike, too.
Just drink Mountain Dew. It'll get you by. You'll be able to do anything if you drink Mountain Dew.
Brondo, because it has electrolytes.
Yeah, okay. So let's see. That pretty much wraps it up. I mean, you know, it's been nice weather here. You know, eventually warms up a little bit. Smokey's been kind of dying to go outside. Smokey's really chill in the car, so that's pretty cool. You know, I take him in the car and he relaxes and everything, so that's nice.
You know, for the listeners of the show, I feel like they should know that I am the reason the shows go long, and I am aware of that. And so this might be the first time where we have a show that's under an hour long.
we did start a little bit late, so you're right. This could be a show I could ask, there is one thing I could bring up where it would take us into another maybe 10 or 15 minute.
It's up to you, discussion. Man. You're the one with the clock.
But I'm not going to. We could save that perhaps for next week. A couple of things I'm working on. Trying to work on getting Corey Miller on the show possibly at the end of February so he can tell us about his journey and some things we like to know about what it's like to sell a company you founded for 10 years and worked and built and you just kind of in the next chapter of his life and iTheme's life. And then I'm still in the back of my mind trying to work with some people to get the WordPress Media Library Roundtable show. Get an update on what's going on there. You know what? I don't even think we've said the G word once on this episode. Should we do it?
I don't know that we. I don't know that we should.
Oh, wait a minute! I did say it when I mentioned Zach Gordon's. Yeah, when I mentioned that, and the name of Zach Gordon. Oh well, we almost did.
About future guests. We haven't talked about it, but the diversity outreach speaker training stuff that they're working on the community.
Oh yes. I've been pinged about that and I'm looking into that.
That should happen. That would be super good to talk more about. Kind of like the GDPR stuff.
I could definitely reach out to them and get them on the show and talk about it.
The GDPR compliance channel on the WordPress Slack is that a
thing?
It is, yeah. GDPR-compliance. I've been contributing asynchronously for a while, and today was the first official, like, let's all hands on deck. Let's talk about what it is that we're trying to do. And it was amazing. I mean, like, there's a lot going on and a lot that needs doing. And we've only got really like 13 weeks to get anything done. But the one thing that, of which it was a great talk, Andrew Oz largely was responsible for leading the conversation, but people from all time zones, parts of the world, different parts of the community, there's 195 people in the channel right now. I bet all 95 of those folks were talking at the same time.
didn't even know this was a thing. That's how out of touch I am.
It was insane because everyone, there's a lot of speculation about what we should do, about what needs to be done, how we should do it, what the interpretation of a lot of the expectations for GDPR mean, and stuff that Heather and you and I talked about a few episodes ago, where everyone is getting up to speed and everybody senses the energy and urgency. So There, I know Heather is, we had talked about in the, when she was on the show, her working with some of the legal team at Automattic. So that's happening now. Everyone is figuring out what their best version of an interpretation of the GDPR is and how it affects WordPress core, maybe how it affects plugins. There's a lot to consider. So
by the way, we have 99 days, 2 hours, 58 minutes and 30 seconds until GDPR enforcement begins.
And so this is the time in the podcast when my watch senses my heart rate increasing and warns me that I may be having a heart attack, because there's a lot that would have to happen to shape the way that WordPress influences the future of privacy and data exports and all of these things.
Well, we got 3 months. Better get out. Have not
really done any work at all. So it is insane.
I did come across a somebody flipped me a tip to a website, wp15.wordpress.net, which is going to have information about perhaps parties and celebrations and something about WordPress turning 15 years old this May. And now I may have said we may have celebrated the actual birthday of WordPress a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, but this is actually going to be the birthday of the first release of WordPress. So there's sort of two different birthdays there. If you want to get technical, I mean, just that comment by Mike Little on Matt Mulloway's blog about the blogging dilemma, that's sort of considered the birthing moment of WordPress itself and the project. But the first release, the day of the first release of WordPress to many is also sort of its birthday. So, but WordPress turns 15, and I thought it was kind of funny. I think Gutenberg happening around WordPress's 15th year, maybe this is WordPress's way of going through puberty.
We did joke about
things
that.
Things are changing for WordPress in many ways.
Yeah.
It's growing up. So that's all I have. Unless you have anything else you want to talk about, we can wrap this puppy up.
Puppy. Oh,
get it, puppy.
Wrap it up the way we started. No, I don't think I've got anything else. There's just...
Well, happy Valentine's Day, John.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. Oh, do you want to talk about forum stuff, tavern stuff?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No, we could save that. Okay. Because there's things that you've assigned me to do that I haven't done yet. So,
well, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus for those things. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody else, and you know, not following up on things probably the way I should. But
anywho, okay. let's let our listeners enjoy having listened to an episode within the hour time frame.
That's my gift to everyone. Yeah, it's shutting up.
That's your gift. Maybe I'll go to Mally's Chocolate where they have an armed officer in the street directing traffic, and I'll get you some chocolate-covered Pringles.
Thank you.
What do you think of that?
I would destroy an entire tube of chocolate-covered Pringles.
Oh, God.
Without even trying. I would regret it instantly, but I would destroy the entire tube.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'd give you half of it. I'd probably eat half of them before I shipped them out to you. Anywho, hope everybody out there is doing well. Hope your business is going great. Thank you for listening to the show each and every Wednesday. We appreciate it. Please give us a review on iTunes. If you could, tell us what you like, dislike about the show. Just be honest with us. That's all we ask. And we'll read your review on iTunes. You can follow this show, or you could get show notes for this show and every other episode on WP Tavern. .com. Just click up there, the podcast link up at the top of the site, and everything you need will be there. And you can follow me on Twitter at JeffroJFFR0. And you know, I haven't really been tweeting that much, to be honest. Most of the things going on in the world is a big giant mad to me, and I'd rather just, you know, avoiding Twitter and avoiding Slack has been wonderful. Mm-hmm. No, in all honesty. Visiting my email client less and less. That's been wonderful. But you know, there's a lot of aspects of my job that requires me to sort of do all that stuff. So that's kind of a bummer. But boy, you know, the longer I go like without email or without visiting Slack or without Twitter or without Facebook, the more I don't miss it. The more I like don't want to come back. So I don't know what's going on there, but Anywho, John, where can people stalk you at on the internet?
At JJJ on Twitter and GitHub and JJJ.blog. And I'll soon look forward to tweets from at Zombie Jeffro, because Jeff's eventually just going to pass out. And
this is true.
Never sleep again.
No, I'm going to pass out and I'm going to wake up after 12 hours and I'm just going to be ready to go.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Shut up, John.
You're living like the Nightmare on Elm Street style lifestyle where you're just not sleeping, you're staying awake, you're afraid to even try and sleep because you know it's not going to work anyways. Man, I don't know. Well, maybe next week.
You're probably scaring all our listeners. They probably, now they're going to want, now they're definitely going to tune in next Wednesday to see if I made it, another week. God, thanks a lot, John.
It's just going to be me. Well, I'm going to have to rehearse the intro.
Oh, boy.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 309?
Something for this day. It's always a Wednesday.
I'm your host, John Jacoby, joined today by Zombie Jeff.
Sure.
And then you just...
Yes. Pretty much how I started the show today. Everybody, thanks for listening to the show. We'll be back at it again next Wednesday afternoon. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.
Say goodnight.
Bye. Good night. Good night.